If you've got your Bibles, Matthew 4, I've been going through the book of Matthew in our church and just being led by the Lord to show me exactly what He wants me to preach. And you pray for your pastor. It's not easy to get a message. Amen. You can get a sermon online, but a message comes from God. And I know He wants to give you something fresh every time that you come. He wants to give you something encouraging. And so you pray for him and you hold his hands up in prayer and pray that God will make it easy for him and he'll have the messages that you need and it'll help him. And when he's up here preaching, I want you to egg him on.
Right.
Amen. You say he preaches long enough as it is. Well, let egg him on. Praise the Lord. And preach him. And it encourages him whenever you're out there helping him preach.
Right.
And so help him out whenever he's preaching. Amen. Matthew chapter number 1 talks about the background of Christ. Matthew chapter number 2 deals with the birth of Christ. Matthew chapter number 3 deals with the baptism of Christ. And here in Matthew chapter number 4, it deals with the battle of Christ. We know it as the temptation of Christ. And let me read a verse here in Matthew 4. And then I'm going to go through some things in this chapter, work my way through it, and I promise you we'll be out by midnight. Amen. Matthew 4, look at verse number 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and they called them. And verse 22 again, notice what they did. They immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him. Father, I pray that you'd bless the reading and preaching of the Word of God this evening. Lord, I realize I stand in need of your grace and your power, your love, your wisdom, and your compassion. I pray, Lord, that you'd bind and rebuke every demonic force of hell and the devil himself that would hinder us from responding to the Holy Spirit, that would distract us from hearing the Word of God. I pray tonight that we'd receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our soul. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be like Mary told the servants when Jesus turned the water into wine. Lord, help us to do whatsoever you tell us to do. Help us to be obedient and mindful. Lord, if there's one among us that is lost and undone, needs to be saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. And I pray they'd get it settled before it's eternally too late. I pray for those that are struggling, those that have strongholds. I pray you'd set the captive free. I pray you'd heal the brokenhearted. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be ready for the return of Christ. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. In Matthew 4, in the first part of the chapter, you see the temptation of Christ. In that temptation, there's three main subjects. You've got the target, you've got the tempter, and you got the truth. The target was Jesus, the tempter was Satan, and the truth was the Scriptures.
Right.
Listen carefully. The Savior used the Scriptures to defeat Satan. And Jesus Christ, we know he couldn't have sinned. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Anybody ever ask you if God can't do something? You say, God can't lie. God couldn't have sinned. You know why? Because in order to sin, you have to have sin nature. Jesus Christ didn't have a sinful nature. He had a human nature, but he didn't have a sinful nature. So why do we have Matthew 4? Because Jesus Christ is going to give us an example of how you and I are to overcome temptation. And the Bible says when the tempter came, and I don't really think this is exactly what I want you to preach, but I think you understand that you and I, no matter how young you are or how old you are or what in between you are, I'm going to grab my water. I think we understand that we get tempted every day.
Sorry.
Temptation's all around the corner. The Bible says every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The
Bible says there's no temptation taken to you but such as common to man. If you ever think you're the only one going through it, I got news for you. You're not the only one going through your temptation. There's other people probably that are struggling with the same thing. Even though you haven't met them yet, they're still going through battles. You're going through battles. All the teenagers go through the same peer pressure. They go through the same problems. Older people go through the same problems. There's no temptation taken but such as common to man. But listen, church, I'm glad that God can make a way of escape. Amen. I'm glad greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. I'm glad that you and I can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we don't have to sin. Any sin that a man commits after he's saved, he does it willfully. According to Hebrews, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sin. Before salvation, we were deceived by sin, and according to the Apostle Paul, we were slain by sin. But after salvation is something that we choose to do. And here in Matthew 4:1, here in the first part of the temptation of Christ, listen, Satan tempted Jesus with the same thing he tempted Eve with. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Right there in Genesis chapter number 3, when she saw the tree that was good for food and desired to make one wise and pleasant to the eyes, she took of the fruit, gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. She could succumb to that temptation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is anybody with me tonight?
That's right.
The same thing happened to Lot. You know the story about Lot. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Yeah. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan defeated Eve with it. He defeated Adam with it. He defeated Lot with it. And he came to Jesus and he says, you know what? I'm going to get him with the same thing. But I'm glad Satan met his match and Jesus overcame the devil.
That's right.
Amen. Amen for that. Satan only raises his head three times in the scriptures. He did it there in Genesis, and then he did it with Job, and then he did it in Matthew. He was so defeated here in the book of Matthew that he doesn't raise his head again. Aren't you thankful for the day one day we won't be tempted?
Right.
When we're in heaven and we're not tempted by the devil? But I want you to know the devil's tempted you and I with the same thing. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Narrowing that down, he tempts us with bitterness, greed, and immorality. You can trace everything down to those three sins. And the root of those three sins is pride. And the worst demon, listen, the worst demon that you and I will ever try to overcome in our life is the demon of pride. Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It was pride that entered in the heart of Lucifer when he was in heaven. And pride entered his heart. And what did he say? Five times he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Five times I will be like the Most High God. And Jesus or God there in Isaiah said, you will be brought down to hell. Notice the difference between Satan and Christ. Satan said, I will. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, not my will, but thy will be done. Anytime we want to do our own will and do our own thing and we want to do it away from God, we're acting in the realm of Satan. But when we come to an altar, whether it's salvation, whether it's with our life, and we surrender our life to him and we say, not my will but thine be done, we're acting like Jesus did when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm telling you, we need some Christians, we need some people, we need some churches, we need some of God's people to say, not my will again. Amen. Amen. Matthew, we see that, the temptation of Christ right here in Matthew 1. And then you see the travels of Christ. They go on there in verse number, I think it's here in verse 13. He left Nazareth. The Bible says he came to Capernaum, Zebulun, Naphtali. He was around the Sea of Galilee there. And there's two main, and this is where I believe God wants me to focus tonight. There's two main messages when Jesus Christ was walking by the Sea of Galilee that he gave to those people that were following him. He had two truths that he wanted to give in his travels. We see his travels. Before I say that, I want you to look with me please at verse number 16. The Bible says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Notice where they sat. They sat in darkness. And how many of you would agree tonight that we live in a world that is sitting in darkness? We're in a dark world. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. The Bible says people are in darkness. The Bible teaches that Satan hath blinded the eyes of people.
That's right.
Last Wednesday night, not yesterday, but Wednesday before, a lady in our church texted Christy and said, my brother's visiting from Miami. He's coming to church tonight. He's got some battles going on in his life. I wondered if Brother Jeff was going to be at the service tonight. Of course I was. And so he came and he sat down and we preached. And after the service, he came up to me. I just looked at him. Felt like I just need to say it. Sir, have you ever been saved? He just kind of shrugged his shoulders and didn't know. I gave him the gospel. I told him how to be saved. Right there on the front. He said, yeah. He said, but you got to be ready for that. And I looked at him. I said, if somebody's not ready to be saved, it's because they're not willing to give up something that's in their life. They're wanting to hold on to something else and they'd rather have that other than Jesus. I said, when I was in Bible college down in Florida, I was witnessing to a man. I gave him the gospel. He opened his coat. He took out a fifth. He said, I want to be saved, but I'm not willing to give that up. I said, don't you let that liquor bottle take you to hell.
That's right.
And I said, don't you let the devil lie to you and say you want that liquor bottle more than you want Jesus. And he looked at me and he said, well, it's funny you said that because that's exactly what I'm battling. I said, the devil's going to lie to you. He's going to tell you want that more than you want Jesus. And the devil's a liar and he's a father thereof. And I want to be reminded tonight that the devil is a liar.
That's right.
Amen. He's been fighting me all day. I don't understand why he wants to fight somebody like me, but he's been fighting me and he's going to fight you. And he's fighting because he don't want to see the work of God done.
Right.
Somebody might need to get saved tonight. Somebody might need to get surrendered tonight.
Yep.
The devil's been fighting all day. I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus and no to Satan, amen. I talked to him about the Lord. I said, let me pray with you. I put my arm around him. And I said, Lord, I pray you'd bind every demon of hell and the devil that's fighting in this guy's mind right now. Pray a hedge about his mind. I pleaded the blood of Jesus over his mind and pray that God would tear down any strongholds in his life. I said, amen. And I looked at him and I said, well, man, when you're ready, I said, you can call me. I said, you can call your sister. You can call her brother. They know how to be saved. They can tell you. And I said, sir, are you sure you're not ready? He said, no, I am ready. He said, I want to be saved right now.
Amen.
We sat on the front row, and he bowed his head, and he went through the gospel. He got saved and born again. And what happened? Why did he not want to be saved at the beginning? Why did he say he wasn't ready? Because Satan has blinded the eyes of people. We got to know how to pray for people.
Right.
When we got to, hey, listen, a lot of times God will hold us back from witnessing because we haven't prayed for them before we go witness to them. And we need to pray that the devil will tear, or God will tear down the strongholds in the minds and hearts of people so that they're open and ready to receive the truth of the Word of God. They sat in darkness. We live in a dark world, but the Bible says this group saw great light. What was that great light? His name was Jesus. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus left. Guess what? Who's the light now? You and I are the light. Almost preached on this over in Matthew. He said this. He said, you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Right. You have to be in hide a candle under a bushel and under a candlestick to give it light to all that are in thine house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Right.
Hey, listen, Jesus is that light. The Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm glad that God is light. The Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light.
Right.
If you want to get some light in your life, if you want light in your marriage, hey, I feel like preaching. If you want light in your family and in your home, if you want light to know what to do and what not to do and where to go, when to stop, what God wants, get into the Word of God. He'll give you light. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you discernment. He'll give you discretion. He'll help you, church. There's nothing like the light of God in your life. Listen, get some wisdom from God. He'll give you that light, amen. If you ask for it, praise God. Amen. Y'all must be tired this evening. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we see in the first part of the chapter the temptation of Christ, and then we see the travels of Christ, and then I want you to notice the truths of Christ. Two truths he preached while he was in this area. First thing he says, verse number 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Notice what he said. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He taught about two truths. The first truth he taught about was salvation. What did he say? He said, repent. There's six words in the Bible that deal with salvation. You might want to write these down. Because when you're talking to people about Jesus, you need to use one of these six words. And you don't need to use other words. It's not found in the Bible that doesn't deal with salvation, but they deal with other things. Number one, trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Everybody say trust.
Trust.
The second word is look. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Everybody say look. The next word is receive. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Everybody say receive.
Receive.
The next word is repent. The Bible says repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
Hey, man, y'all doing good. Y'all going to get an A-plus tonight. I don't know how many I've told you, but here's another one. Are you ready? Believe. The Bible says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Everybody say believe. There's one more. Anybody want to guess it? Not everybody at one time, please. How about call? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you've got trust, you've got look, you've got believe, you've got receive, you've got repent, and you've got call. And they all mean the same thing. They're just words that's used in different ways. And Jesus is dealing with salvation here. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In order to get to heaven, remember, for the kingdom of heaven, he's dealing with heaven. So, in order to get to heaven, somebody's got to do what? What did he say? Repent. He said, repent. Now, you start talking to different preachers and people, and man, you hear all different kinds of things on this subject of repent. What does it mean to repent? Well, I got news for you. The first person ever to repent in the Bible was not man. It was God. Go to Genesis chapter number 6, please. I want to show it to you. Hey, I'm not preaching right now. I'm telling the truth. You ever heard that one? That's a joke. Amen. Genesis chapter number 6. First person ever repent in the Bible was God. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. Genesis 6, 5. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Hey, listen, Brother Bryant, we weren't perfect growing up, and I know that most people can relate to this, but when we was growing up, we was Genesis chapter number 3. We was sinful. We were. We was sinful. We done stupid things. How you done stupid things in your life? Raise your right hand. How you did a bunch of stupid things? Raise this hand. I mean, if you could, raise your feet right now. We were in Genesis 3. We're living in a society that's past Genesis chapter number 3. We're in Genesis chapter 6 now. We're living inside, not just simple, it's satanic.
That's right.
Yeah. Wicked. Right. You, things going on you never thought they'd be going on.
Right. That's right.
The last judgment of God upon a nation is not homosexuality, it's cannibalism. When a society reaches cannibalism, that's when you can put Ichabod over that society. And friend, we are not far from cannibalism the way people live their life today. But we see Genesis chapter number 3, now in 6. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I was listening to David Jeremiah the other day, and he was doing a word study on this, and he said the imagination of the thoughts of hearts, he said that deals with pornography. And he made this statement, and he gave this statistic. He said in the society, and I don't even like talking about it because it's a perverted, but people need to know, we live in a society today that 28% of pornography is child pornography. 28%. That's one out of four. Almost a little bit more than that. Let me just pause and say this real quick to all of us, especially us men. We got to be real careful what we look at on these phones. Boy, it got quiet on me right there. Did you feel that kickback? I felt like I just talked to my mother-in-law. Hey, is everybody okay? Got to be careful. I said we got to be careful.
That's right.
Things pop up here and pop up there, and it don't take long before a person's mind gets to wandering, and we got to be on guard. We got to be sober and vigilant, for our adversary the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, listen to me. It's not just for you. It's for preachers. I heard a statistic the other day, and I'm not sure if it's true or not. I don't know. I don't follow that. I don't study it. But I heard somebody say that 80% of pastors struggle with pornography. Think about that. You sued, you had to get in your car, and you went down to the road, and you had to buy something in front of somebody, and they know what you bought, and you had to take it, look at it. Now it's not like that anymore. Somebody can sit in their office, somebody can get on their phone, somebody can be by themselves, and they can get on the phone, they can plug up anything or click on anything, and it pops up right there. I want to tell you, church, we got to guard our hearts. Amen.
Right.
We got to guard our hearts. It's not worth our family. It's not worth our marriage. It's not worth our testimony. It's not worth the cause of Christ. We got to clean our act up. Amen.
That's right.
Oh, listen, church. Every imagination was evil continually. Watch verse 6. We're supposed to be on repentance. I appreciate y'all getting me off track right here. Verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of this earth. If you look up the word repent, it means to change your mind. What God was saying right here, it said that when he repented the Lord that he made man, the Bible teaches that he wished he had never made man. Number 2, it grieved him at his heart. Number 3, he said, I'm going to destroy him. The same attitude that God had towards man is the same attitude that you and I are to have towards sin. I wish I'd have never sinned. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Can I get a witness? Number 2, it grieved him in his heart. Sin ought to grieve us in our hearts.
That's right.
Yes.
And we got to be able to say, I'm going to destroy that or get rid of that out of my life. Now, when somebody gets saved, they got to repent. Now, they might not have all these thoughts in their mind about, I'm grieved over it, I don't want it anymore, but they just got to get sick of sin. And they got to want Jesus more than they want their sin. Listen, somebody comes down the aisle, popping gun, telling jokes, and saying, oh, yeah, I'll pray with you, but I'm going to walk out that door and keep living the life I'm living. Friend, they ain't praying with me, because that's not repentance. Repentance is when you're sorry for your sin and you're grieving over it and you don't want it anymore and you ask God to forgive you, which means to take away. Take it away, Lord. And so what do you repent from? What do you change your mind of? You change your mind about sin, and number 2, you change your mind about the Savior. I don't want the sin, but I do want Jesus.
Right.
It's repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Anybody that tells you anything more than that's muddying up the gospel. Has there ever been a time when you said, oh, I'm a sinner, and it doesn't have to be these exact words? Man, that man walked into the temple, and what did he say? He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
That's right.
And we got to say, Lord, I've sinned, be merciful, forgive me. I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you thankful for the simplicity of the gospel? Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I was on my way to the meeting tonight, and my son Christian called me. He was doing some work with a guy today. He was working landscaping, mowing, weed eating, all that stuff. And he said, I worked with a guy today, 17-year-old young man. He said, I got a chance to witness to him. I don't have time to tell you everything that he told me. And he said, I saw that young man, 17 years old, bow his head and ask Jesus to come into his heart and save him.
Hey,
repentance.
Amen.
By the way, after you get saved, you still need to repent.
Yeah.
He said, not to be saved. But man, the devil seems to throw tricks in our life. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
That's right.
We don't need to get cleaner. We need to get clean. We can be cleaner, but not clean. One of the problems in our churches today, one of the problems in Christianity today, and it might not be in this church as much as other churches, because I know you got a preacher that preaches the Bible. And when you're under old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, sin-fighting, Bible-toting, biscuit-eating, say amen, Baptist preaching, you're going to have to make some decisions, amen.
Amen.
Y'all like them biscuits, don't you? They ain't gravy biscuits. But But we got to learn to confess. It means to agree with God. We got to quit justifying our sin.
Sorry.
Hey, this is revival, isn't it?
Amen.
Are we trying to have revival?
Yeah.
Revival starts, the Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God.
Right.
Our problem, my problem, the biggest person that I face, my biggest problem every day is a person I look in the mirror. If I could get this right and keep this right and maintain this right here, everything else would be all right. Our problems are not horizontal, our problems are vertical. You say, well, you don't know the man I live with. He's a head, but he's an empty head. Well, you might be right about that. You don't know the woman I live with. You don't know my kids. Hey, let me tell you this. The Bible says, Paul said in Acts 24:16, and herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. He started out with God and then he went with man. The Bible says in about Jesus, he was in favor with God and man. It's a vertical thing. We got to be right vertical. We got to go back. We got to confess our sins. We got to be right. If we got hurt in our life, we need to forgive. Somebody say amen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Has anybody hurt you to where you've had a hard time forgiving them? You said, but preacher, it happened so long ago. Well, why are you still remembering it tonight? Because the Holy Ghost got a pretty good memory.
Yeah.
And we got to learn to forgive.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if you don't forgive, you'll be depressed. You'll have anxiety. You'll struggle with anger and lust and depression and all that. All that's tormentors. Listen, people go to the psychiatrist, the hospital all the time dealing with anger management. They deal with lust, they deal with doubts, they deal with depression. People are on so many pills and medications nowadays. You got to be careful about that stuff. Man, my mind's going 100 miles an hour. I got to slow down and stop. But we got to be careful about just taking anything in our body.
That's right.
Hey man, you don't hear that preached much, but it needs to be preached, because people are so sedated now and people are under so much pills and they don't even know how to make a decision for God anymore.
That's right.
Oh, listen. We've got to make sure that we have forgiven those whom hurt us. Who's hurt you? And I'm trying to help because I love you, because we all fight bitterness. I said we all fight bitterness. Every one of us. And by the way, our elementary kids, our young children that are in elementary school and teenagers, hey, listen, their problems of what they face at school is just as real as adult problems.
That's right.
I was at camp one time, this kid, he raised his hand for salvation. I wasn't preaching, I was just a worker right there. And I took him to the back. I said, tell me when you got saved. And he told me. I said, well, are you sure you're saved? He said, no. I said, do you want to make sure? He said, yes. He bowed his head. He asked God to save him. I said, man, I said, did you mean it? He said, yeah. Did you call him? He said, yeah. I said, you sure you're saved? He said, I don't know. But he meant it. And he called on God. And he wasn't holding on to sin. I said, anybody ever hurt you where you've had a hard time forgiving them? He said, yeah. I said, who was it? He said, there's a girl at school makes fun of me because I'm overweight. And he really was. He's a little husky. That's what I like to call myself. He said, I come home and I tell my grandma. He said, I live with my grandma and I tell her. He said, she makes fun of me. And she what happened was he went to bed. He let the sun go down upon his wrath. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why? Because you'll do the next verse. Neither give place to the devil. He gave the devil a stronghold in his life of sin, of bitterness and anger. And so I said, are you willing to forgive her? And he said, yes. And so he prayed a prayer like this. Lord, I confess I've been bitter at that lady for making fun of me for being overweight. I confess that as sin. I plead the blood over it, take it out of my heart, tear down that stronghold, and help me to forgive. He prayed that prayer and meant it with all his heart because he wanted to forgive her. As soon as he prayed that prayer, looked at me and said, if you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? He said, yes, I do. I know I'm saved.
Amen.
You see, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to give you and I the assurance of our salvation. And the Bible says we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we're not to quench the Holy Spirit. What quenches the Holy Spirit? Bitterness. It quenches the Holy Spirit from being able to fill one of its functions in our life. And one of its functions is to give us the assurance of our salvation. The Bible says the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But if he's quenched, then he's grieved. And not everybody could struggle with that, but some people could. And so once he got that bitterness out, the Holy Spirit gave him the assurance that he was saved. God's people, we know lost people need to repent. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. In order to go to heaven, you got to repent. But listen, we as God's people, we need to repent too. We need to make sure that there's nobody that's ever heard us. By the way, let me ask you this question. I don't know why. I wasn't planning on saying all this, but I feel like God wants me to say it. How about this one? Is there anything about you in which you can change that you can't change? He said, yeah, preacher, I'm like you. I'm husky. Hey, I'm not talking about something you can change. We can all change that, amen?
That's right.
A few less Cokes and a few less Dove chocolates. How many of you like Dove chocolates? Only four of us, we need revival. Right now. If you don't like a Dove chocolate, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's spiritual. It's a Dove. Amen. I'm talking about what is it about you that you can't change. Well, I'm not tall enough, or I want different color eyes and different color this or whatever. I wish I could change this. What is it you wish you could change about yourself? You know what a lot of people or a lot of teenagers struggle with, especially in this social media society with all the stuff that comes online and what they're seeing is they're struggling with self-acceptance. There's a model, there's a program that the world is putting forth of what a guy ought to look like and what a lady ought to look like. And they're these mom. And by the way, you take all that makeup and you take all that stuff off, they don't look like that.
That's right.
That's right.
Help us. And by the way, if that was the answer, then all these Hollywood stars and all these people wouldn't be getting divorced and cheating on each other.
That's right.
And so here's the deal. You got all these teenagers looking at this model that they're supposed to be at. And then they go look in the mirror. And they don't like what they see because it don't measure up. Well, I wish I had this, and they don't realize it, but who made them like they are? God did. The Bible says, hath not the potter power over the clay? Shall the thing formed say to the thing that formeth, why hath thou made me thus? And we got a bunch of young people saying, why did you make me like this? Why couldn't I have been more like them? Her. Brother Jeff. Brother Brian.
That man.
Oh, see, man, I preach on the blood and cross and salvation. I talk about how good looking he is, and he starts shouting. Yeah, amen. So they look in the mirror. They don't like what they see in the mirror, and they realize
right.
That it's God that made them that way. And so they go to bed angry at God. And we're in here trying to trust, telling them, you got to surrender your life to God. You got to do what God wants you to do. But in their heart, they don't want to because they're blaming him for how they look. I got news for you, young people, adults, everybody. God makes no mistakes.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
He made us exactly like he wanted us. The Bible says in Psalm, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thy soul knoweth right well.
Right.
I'm made in the image of God.
That's right.
Amen. You know, it's a proven fact that these ladies and that are in these beauty contests and Mr. and Miss, Mr. Olympia and Miss North Carolina and Miss Universe and all that, they have more temptations than the average person. You know, the Bible says about Jesus that he wasn't a good looking man. The Bible says about Moses that he was. Josephus, if you read the story, Bible talks about Josephus or Moses being a very good-looking man, and the Bible talks about Sarah being a beautiful young, beautiful lady, even when she was 90. But the Bible says about Jesus that he was just an ordinary guy. The Bible says there's no beauty. Isaiah 53, there's no beauty that we should desire of him. He didn't stand out. He's just an ordinary guy. So listen, if you're an ordinary-looking person, you're in good company with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you're getting a little bit tonight.
Amen.
I wish I could change what in my life? Here's one. What did you expect God to do for you and he didn't do it? How do you believe God loves you?
Amen.
Stay with me. I'm going to ask that one again. How many of you believe God loves you?
Amen.
Let me ask you this. How many of you believe God likes you? Why don't you think God likes you?
I asked a guy that one time. I said, his name's Terry. I said, Brother Terry, I said, you believe God loves you? He said, yeah. I said, you believe God likes you? He said, no.
I said, why? He said, he took my twin babies.
What happened? He was bitter at God for taking his babies.
Why don't you think God likes you? What happened in your life and you've been blaming him ever since?
I want you to know God loves you. He's not here to hurt you. He's here to help you. He allows things to happen in our life. And we've got to learn to trust him. We've got to realize he knows best. He's in control. He's sovereign. He's God. Amen. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
If you've ever had a relationship outside of marriage and you was underneath the authority of your parents, you better go back to your dad and confess that. Where's that in the Bible? The prodigal son left.
Ended up with the pigs. The Bible says he came to himself. I will arise and go back to my father. He went back to his father. And he said this. He said, Dad, he said, I've sinned against heaven. He got right with God.
He said, I've sinned in your sight. He confessed to his dad his lifestyle.
He said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, make me a servant. You see, you read the beginning of that story, he said, give me. You read the end of that story, he said, make me. Amen.
That's right.
I'm talking about bitterness, greed, and immorality. And I'm preaching to the choir right here. I understand I am.
Boy, I feel like after this message, I ain't going to get no love off. Amen. I may borrow some gas money, praise God.
Listen, I know I'm preaching to a revival crowd, but as far as your tithe that you give to this church, and by the looks of it, it looks like, according to your numbers, by the way, you're above average. So that's a blessing.
Amen.
But if you and I don't tithe and give an offering, we're greedy. Let me tell you how God bless you, and I'll try to quit and move on. I ain't even to what I want to preach. We're to give a tithe, that means 10th. Anything that you get comes in, a 10th goes to God. That's just what we owe. And then there's an offering, that's anything above a tithe. If it's $5 more than tithe, it's an offering. You get it. We support missionaries. My family and I, my wife and I, we support a missionary every month. And then, if there ever comes a chance that you can help out, and this is above that you can help somebody out in need, you give them some money, and you watch what God does. And let me tell you what else is helping. This crowd looks like they can see what I'm getting at. I was praying one time in the morning. We have a screened-in porch. I was praying as we quiet. All of a sudden, I heard the birds start chirping. And the Lord spoke to my heart and says, if you take care of them birds, I'll take care of you. As soon as that happened, I went and got me a bird feeder. We hung it up. We started feeding birds. Every time I fill that bird feeder up, it seems like God gives me an extra blessing. He loves his little sparrow. A sparrow follows. It can't fall without him knowing it.
That's right.
We might need to go get 10 or 12 more bird feeders. How many are you going to go get a bird feeder back? But if you see somebody in need, and by the way, they might not even be in need, but the Holy Ghost says, give them some money.
Yeah.
It's more blessed to give than receive. I started a little business, and I'm not doing it anymore, but during this time, this business, the Lord allowed me to make some extra money. And I was having the time of my life. I was giving extra money to my kids. I was giving extra money to my wife. I was able to give, and even I'd be able to hand a preacher $100 bill here and buy a preacher a Bible here and just start giving. And during that time, man, God just started showing how strong and mighty he is. Let me tell you something. Greed has no place in the heart of a Christian. What it keeps us from getting greedy is us giving to those in need.
Yeah.
Hey, forgive those that's hurt you. Make things right if there's been immorality. And make sure there's no greed in your life. Repent from these things. So in order to go to heaven, you got to repent. That's the first command Jesus ever gave.
Are y'all? Can I quote some scripture to you real quick? How about Matthew 28? Go ye and all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. It's what Jesus said. Teaching them to observe what sort of things I've commanded you. Well, what did Jesus command? He says right here, repent. That's the first commandment Jesus ever preached when he started preaching. The second commandment's two verses below it. Look what it says. Let me get in Matthew. I'm still in Genesis. Look at verse number 19. And he saith unto them, what's those next two words?
Follow me.
And I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. So there is the command to follow Jesus. The word follow means this. Are you with me? It says this. Come follow me now. That's what it means. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't see if anybody else is going to follow. Don't see if anybody else is going to join the crowd. Hey, listen, no matter what anybody else does, no matter what anybody else says, by the grace of God, we got to follow Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We need to go back to that song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Hey.
A lot of people say, well, if you want to get saved, you got to follow Jesus. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to get saved, you got to repent. After you repent, get saved, now you have another decision in your life, and so do I. Am I going to follow Jesus now that I'm saved? You know Jordan Perkins? He's in Concord. We went, my daughter Esther and Jay, he's an evangelist, they were singing out there and he was preaching. We went to their revival last week or sometime, and Jordan Perkins got up and said this. He said, I lived my life saved for a long time, but I wasn't surrendered. Man, when he said that, I thought, man, there's a message. Living saved, but not living surrendered. Surrendered is when you and I take that next step right here, this commandment. Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know what's a burden on my heart of recent days? Is us as Christians telling other people about Jesus. Hey, it's not just me standing up and preaching.
That's right.
It's when I'm on the streets. It's when I'm here and when I'm there. I'm actively, compassionately talking to other people about Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He said, you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. If we ain't fishing, it's because we ain't following. If we're not actively. Hey, I'm glad you're at church tonight. I'm glad you're here. You know what? I preached to empty crowds during COVID. I preached to a bunch of pews. I know how that's like. That ain't no fun. So thank you for coming. I'm glad you're here. If you weren't here, I wouldn't be here. But hey, listen, just because we're in church tonight, I'm talking to me too. Don't mean we're following Jesus. You can be in church through a routine.
That's right.
I love it. I know what it's like. I'm preaching to me. But when I go home and when I see God in the Word and seek Him in prayer and I go out and I'm God conscious and I'm soul conscious and I say, God, open up doors of opportunity when I go out so I can tell others about Christ. Listen, if you're looking for an opportunity, I promise you'll find it.
Yeah.
If all of God's people started witnessing and fishing for men, we'd start seeing more people say, nowhere in the Bible does it tell a sinner to come to church. Nowhere. But it tells God's people to come to church to get fed. But it tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to them. There's a difference between an evangelistic church and a soul winning church. An evangelistic church, which there's a time for this, and it's even a night, evangelistic church preaches the gospel, sees people walk down the aisle and get saved. I got saved that way.
Amen.
I'm for that.
Amen.
A soul winning church is a church of people that's been saved, but they go out to the highways and hedges. And they compel them to come in. You say, which one do we want to be? We want to be both.
That's right.
We want to be an evangelistic church that preaches the gospel, and we want to be a soul winning church.
Right.
And he can't do it all by himself.
That's
you're
right.
Going to meet people in your life you'll never meet.
That's right.
And you're going to meet, or he's going to meet people you never meet. And so we got to all be in this together. Hey, listen. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I was at a soul winning conference when I was 19 something years old. Curtis Vessel was preaching on soul winning. I got a burden from my neighbor across the street. God spoke to my heart. I walked across the street. His name's Harold. We used to go over to shoot pool. It ain't a sin to shoot pool, is it? Well, it ain't tonight, but it's not. And I asked him, I said, if you die, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And he bowed his head and his lips started to quiver. His wife said she had been saved. Son said he had been saved. I gave him the gospel. And Harold asked Jesus to come in his heart and save him right there. He's in his 70s at that time. He's dead and gone now.
We're to be about the thought. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, if we're really following Jesus close enough, we're going to be fishing for men.
That's right. That's good.
Now, a lot of times in my life, and I'm just as guilty as the next person, I'm following Jesus like Peter did whenever he was taken to Caiaphas' place. The Bible says he followed him afar off. That's the way a lot of Christians are today. Just far enough to where nobody can see. Yeah. Nobody can tell.
Yeah.
And people you work with, this time you started asking them about Jesus. It's time you start inviting them to church.
Yeah.
It's time you start telling them, hey, I'm not working you for 5 years or 2 years or 6 months. I want you to know I go to church and I've been saved. If you die, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? You say, preacher, I don't know what to say. Well, pray that God will put the words in your mouth. And guess what? When you open your mouth, God's going to fill it.
That's right.
You can talk about us stuff. Hello? You can talk about how husky the preacher is. Can we talk about Jesus? You talk about that latest post. You talk about what's going on Facebook. You talk about what's going on in the world. You talk about your favorite sports team.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jesus. So, Matthew 4, the temptation of Christ, the travels of Christ, the truth of Christ. And last of all, you read in the Bible, you'll see the touch of Christ. The Bible says Jesus went teaching and preaching and healing. Now, I'm supposed to be able to teach the Bible, and I'm going to preach the Bible. But if you're sick tonight, you want to be healed, I ain't been healed. Being healed ain't been healed. I can't come up here and say, here, let me slay you in the Holy Ghost and you'll be healed. I can't do that.
That's all right.
I tell you what I can do. If you call for those of the church, we can pray over you, anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if you have any sins, they shall be forgiven you. That's in the Bible. That's in the New Testament. But I pray for somebody. But Jesus has the power to heal. I don't know what's going on in your body. I remember years ago, I don't even know why I prayed it. I was feeling good. I was fit. Didn't look like I look now. I was in the closet and I was praying. I said, God, I don't know what's going on in my body, but if there is anything going on in my body that's not right, I pray you touch me and heal me. All of a sudden, peace just came over me. Now, he either healed me of something or he gave me a peace that everything was all right. God can still heal. I'm not going to let some other denomination and some other movement keep me from trusting and claiming the promises of God that God can still heal the body.
Sorry.
He can.
Sorry.
You know, there's a man named Asa in the Bible. He was a king, and the Bible says he was diseased in his feet. And the Bible says that he didn't seek the Lord. He sought physicians, and he died. Mm. No, I'm not his physician, and Jesus wasn't either, because he said they that are sick need a physician. I might need one tonight. You might too. But let me just encourage you. If something's not going right in your body, won't you give God a chance first? Won't you call this man up and say, man, I've got something going on. I've got a pain. Doctor told me this. He won't have surgery. He won't do MRI. He won't do all this stuff to my body. And he mean well. I'm not saying that God won't lead you to do that. But won't we come to God first? I said, I want to do James 4. If there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil. Oil is the type of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can heal you. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if having sins, they shall be forgiven. Jesus, the touch of Christ. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know if you need a touch. I don't know if you need to repent. I don't know if you want to follow Jesus. I don't know if you need to forgive somebody. I preached everything tonight. But I hope something's there to help you. We need the Bible. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know who's going to come to the piano and play. But you listen well. And I appreciate you listening. As the pianist comes, let me ask you, who's hurt you where you've had a hard time forgiving? And preacher, there's been somebody in my life that's hurt me. And I'll be honest, I have had a difficult time forgiving them. Would you pray for me? Would you slip that hand up? Anybody? I see that hand and that hand. Keep them up, and that hand and that hand. And I see that hand and 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 that hand. And God bless you, I see that hand. Here's how you forgive them. You call their name out and say, Lord, I confess I've had bitterness and resentment towards, and you call their name out to God, and you say for, and you name what they did to you that hurt you.
Forgive me for that bitterness and take it out of my heart and help me to forgive them. You ought to pray that right now.
He'll set you free. Grudge is too heavy to carry. You don't need that stuff in your heart.
Neither do I. Preacher, God spoke to me. Go ahead and start playing something. I need to follow Jesus. I need to be a witness. God spoke to my heart about following Him.
Would you slip your hand up? Anybody? Anybody? I need to follow Him. I need to follow Him. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. God bless you.
Is there anybody here tonight you say, Preacher, I'm not 100% sure that if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. Preacher, I may need to repent. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Is there anybody tonight? I'm not sure. If I died, I'm going to heaven. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Stand, please, all over the church. Hands were raised about different things. This altar's open. Why don't you come to the Lord? Come to the altar tonight. Do business with God. Amen. Do business with God. Obey the Lord.
I like that song. You can bring it all to Him. You can bring your bitterness. You can bring it all to Him. Amen. He remembers that you're dust. He'll have compassion on you. He's ready to forgive.
Amen. 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 Whatever it is tonight God's spoken to your heart about, I pray that you bring it to the altar this evening. Make sure you leave it here and don't take it back home with you. All of us here tonight got some things we've been hurt. Things that's been said, things that's been done. Grudges that maybe we've held on to for a long time. Things that's put us in prison in our hearts and lives. What a great opportunity tonight. Bring it to the burden bearer, the one that is willing to release us and forgive us and help us to forgive others and give us that strength that we couldn't find in our own selves, in our own flesh. But we're relying on the power of God tonight to help us do something that we can't do on our own, which is maybe to perhaps release that bitterness and unforgiveness that we may have in our life towards somebody else. Could be besetting sin, something that's in our life that we've just been hanging on. We've been trying to fight it on our own and we can't, and we understand that we can't. But here tonight we find ourselves at the altar praying and asking God to help us, to give us strength to set these things aside in our life. I'm thankful that we have a God today that is able. That there is nothing that God can't do. And we serve the God that can do the impossible with man. Some of us may be praying for folks to get saved.
family members maybe we've been praying for a long time. Listen, don't quit. Don't give up.
Yes.
Maybe here this evening, and I believe all of us here tonight, I've heard so many things that we can take and apply to our hearts and lives today about being a better witness, being a better people, being a better church, being a better Christian. I'm thankful tonight that I can bring it all to Him. Every single bit of it. You know, the Bible tells us, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That means everything that you got. We have a Savior tonight that lets us know that, listen, we can just pour ourselves out. To empty ourselves, just to give God all we have. Does not the Bible say that He knows what we have need of before we ever even ask? Listen, God already knows. We pour ourselves out to Him this evening.
Yes.
We just give Him all we got. If you're here tonight and you're not saved,
yes,
and you raised your hand, you need to get saved, I encourage you to make sure you work that out before you leave the house of God tonight. The Bible says in this truth, what is your life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment. You need to make sure you're ready. And make sure you're prepared. None of us are guaranteed to get in our cars and make it home tonight. I was coming from town today. And I was on my way from town and they got the yard sale stuff going on. And there was two cars that was in a wreck right in front of Yellow Branch up here. And I thought to myself as I was going through, because you know every year when we have these things, there's always wrecks and there's always things like this just going on. I was just like, Lord, I just pray, God, that you just wrap your hands around people that are traveling through here this week.
Yes.
Tomorrow and Saturday, but every day. And I don't know anything about their situation, but I was just like, Lord, just help those people. And all of us here tonight, we're not guaranteed the next second. So making sure that we're prepared in our hearts is one of the best things that we can do when we leave out of here tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day. God, you have been so good. Lord, we just pray that you'll just continue to use this message, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us, God, to take these things we've heard tonight, and Lord, not let them just to be something that passes through this ear and goes out the other, but God, we'd grab a hold of it, we'd take these thoughts captive and take your word captive. God, you said it when it went out, it would not return void, and so I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight to grab a hold of it, apply it to our lives, and help us to walk out of here tonight saying, you know what, Lord, there is some things I need to let go of, there is some things that I need to do, there are some things that I need to change, and God, I can't do it without you. Lord, I need your help, I need your strength, I need your power, I need your presence. God, I need all these things in my life. Lord, I pray to you to help me tonight and help me this week and just help me to be a better man. Help me be a better leader, better father. Help me be a better wife, a better servant, a better whatever it is that we need to be better at. We know that God can help us with that. And we pray that you just bless the night. I pray that you bless the preacher as he makes his way home here in just a little while. Lord, I pray, God, you'd wrap your arms around him. Pray, Lord, you'd help his church. Lord, that you would just help him, Lord, as he leads it. And Lord, I pray that you give him guidance and direction in his life as the under-shepherd of Victory Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, that you would just fill it, Lord. I pray, God, that you would help him, God, to be freshly known. And every time he gets into the pulpit, that Lord, that he would have your power and a sense of your presence with him every time. Lord, I pray that you'd build a hedge of protection about him and his family. And Lord, all of us here tonight as we make our way homes here in just a little bit. I pray, God, to bring us back tomorrow, Lord, as we have another night of revival meeting. And just pray, God, that you'd use the preacher tomorrow. Keep him safe as he makes his way up as well. And then, God, you'd use him just as you've used Brother Mabe here tonight and just as you used Kenny Baldwin this week. And Lord, I pray that you'd just use all these men and all the songs that we sing. Just to point people to you and bring you honor and glory. God, we know without you we can do nothing. And so we just ask God you'd help us to make sure that we keep you the center in all that we do. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would be seated here for just a moment, if you could get Brother Jeff, he would make his way to the back. And folks can just kind of shake your hand and meet you as they leave here tonight. If we could get some men to come up as we take a love offering for Brother Jeff. And you make sure you pray for him.